There is no other name that truly matters in eternity, just the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. John chapter 13, if you'd take your Bibles and turn with me. Years ago, Jackie Chan started a movie called The Tuxedo. Some of you may have seen that. I don't know if you have or not. Kind of a cute little movie. And in this movie, he is a taxi driver. And he ends up driving this guy named Clark Devlin and becomes Clark Devlin's driver. Well, at some point of the movie, at the beginning, the car comes under attack, and Clark Devlin, well, he's a very special agent, if you will, a secret agent. And he's got all kinds of giftedness about him. But in the midst of this attack on the car gets all shot up, and Clark Devlin gets wounded pretty severely. And he can't go on, so he tells Jackie Chan, take the coat, take the tuxedo, put that on, and whenever you put that on, you are going to have incredible, incredible powers that are so extraordinary, you can't even think about what's going to happen. You're going to be able to walk on ceilings and walk on walls and do flips and jumps and all this kind of, which Jackie Chan already does some of that kind of stuff anyway. But you get what I'm talking about. And he has these special powers. And Clark Devlin makes this comment. He says, when you put my coat on, then you will share in my glory. When you and I put on the Lord Jesus Christ at salvation, we share in the character and in the glory of God. And in doing so, there are certain things that we are going to be able to do that we never were able to do before. Or maybe we did them, but we were going to do them in a different light now. And one of those things is the way that we serve. When you and I put on Christ, we put on His character and His glory, we share in that greatness. We share in that servitude that Jesus, His humility that He showed while He was here on earth. Don't think that, you know, you're going to be great as a believer if you're not willing to put on the jacket of servanthood when it comes to the Lord Jesus Christ. If you really want to be somebody in time and in eternity, we got to ask ourselves, are we serving others more than we're serving ourselves? What is our servant's life like? When we're clothed in God's righteousness, which if you are saved, you are saved to the uttermost. You are saved for eternity, and you've put on Christ that coat of His righteousness and His servanthood. We're going to look at John chapter 13 today, and because of time, we're not going to read through the entire passage, but we'll kind of skip around a little bit here. But if you would, stand with me one last time. John chapter 13, we're going to start at verse number 1. John 13, verse 1. John writes, now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that His hour had come, that He should depart from this world to the Father, having loved His own who were in the world, He loved them to the end. And supper being ended, the devil having already put into his heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray Him. Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things to His hands, and that He had come from God and was going to God, rose from supper and laid aside His garments, and took a towel and girded Himself. After that, He poured water in a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel which was girded. And He goes on to share what He did as far as washing the disciples' feet. But look at verse number 15. We'll come to these other verses later. What He says in verse number 15, for I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. Father, help us to understand the importance of serving the kingdom of God, serving the God of the universe, serving the Lord Jesus and what it truly means. Lord, thank you for being for serving us by coming to this earth and serving us by going to the cross. Bless this time in your word, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Jesus leaves us an example of how to serve. The servant's example. The servant's example. The Bible is just replete with verses on serving. In fact, there are at least 1,400 times in the Bible you'll find the word serve, served, serves, servant, servants, servanthood, over and over again. That does not even include the word minister that is in in Scripture. But you'll find it over 1,400 times. I think he's trying to make a point there, don't you? 1,400 times, being a servant. Now, a lot of times we think we're serving the Lord, but in reality we're not, because we're not serving the Lord in a biblical way. We might be doing something, but we're not actually serving the Lord. So you ever done something because you had to? Yeah, yeah. Or done something because somebody told you had to do it. You didn't want to do it, but they told you you had to do it. Or maybe you just did something without even thinking about it, you know? And your heart really wasn't in it, but you did it just to be a part of it, you know? I was reminded, and I understand the backstory behind this, but a couple of days ago, or maybe it was yesterday actually, one of the NBA players was on the sideline, and he got caught. Remember, the NBA players, they're in the playoffs right now, and one of the players of the Philadelphia 76ers was on the sideline there with his cell phone out during the game. Oh, my. As a former coach, oh, my. What in the cornbread world are you doing with your cell phone while you're supposed to be focused on the game? And in the end, they said that he got in trouble for it, and he got fined and all this other stuff, and got trouble with the coach and what have you and the management. But he said he was checking on his daughter because she had been kind of sick, and so anyway, but whatever, the point is he was not focused on it. He was in the game, but he wasn't in the game. You know what I'm saying? He was there, but he really was not totally engaged in what he was supposed to be doing at the time. The Bible is replete with service. The Bible says in Psalm 100 verse 2, serve the Lord with gladness. Galatians 5:13, to serve one another. Serve the Lord in newness of the Spirit. Romans 7:6 says, in other words, as believers, we ought to be serving God in a whole new way than what we did before. Before you served, now you're serving the King. So there's a whole new dynamic that's been thrown into that. 1 Samuel 12:24, the Bible says, only fear the Lord and serve Him in truth with all your heart, for consider what great things He has done for you. Romans chapter 12 and verse 11. Not lagging in diligence, which we do quite often, amen. Not lagging in diligence, but fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. You won't see this on the screen, but I leave you with this verse. Mark 10:45. For the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and do what? Give His life a ransom for many. Jesus came to serve. And how did He serve? He died. This point in Scripture, Jesus' public ministry is coming to an end. It's done. Public ministry is done. This is literally hours before He is to be crucified. He's sitting down at a table in an upper room that's been borrowed so that they could eat the Passover meal. It's just Jesus and the 12 disciples, just 13 of them. No one else. No friends. No neighbors, no servants, no one. Just Jesus and His 12 disciples. It's the first day of unleavened bread. The Passover lamb has been killed, and they're sitting down to eat the Passover meal. And out of the blue, the meal comes to an end, according to verse number 2. And as the meal comes to an end, Jesus gets up. He walks over. He takes off His outer cloak. He takes a towel and He wraps it around Himself. He grabs a basin filled with water. He walks back over. And as the disciples are reclining, remember now, when they sat back then, they didn't sit in chairs like what we sit in today. It was a short table. They were on, you know, laying on the floor like this, or maybe Indian style or like that, or just sitting up, whatever. But that's how they were sitting. And one by one, Jesus takes that basin. You could have heard a pin drop. Nobody said anything. What in the world is He doing? He was serving. I want to share with you this morning four distinctives that I see in this passage, four things how Jesus served that I think would be good for us to implement in our lives and to understand. Service is just not doing things. Service, there's a whole new dynamic to true service to the Lord. Number one, I want you to notice that Jesus was humble in His approach. Humble in His approach. Here we have Jesus coming to wash the disciples' feet. He didn't do it because He had to. He didn't do it necessarily because no one made him to do it. He did it out of love. He did it out of humility. He just wasn't doing it because it was the thing to do. He was pointing at what he was doing here, but he humbled himself. You see, during that time, during that age, the lowest servant would be the one. Someone would enter your home, and the lowest of the low servants would come to you and wash your feet. They would help you take off your sandals, set those to the side, and they would have that basin of water, and they would wash your feet and dry your feet as you went into someone else's house. And it was always the lowest service. And you watch this now. And usually it was a Gentile. Now, Jesus takes on that role. And we all know how the Jews felt about Gentiles, don't we? But Jesus takes on that role. The disciples have been walking all day all around Jerusalem. And it was customary for someone to wash those feet. But whenever they walked in, there was no one there. No one there. And all of supper had come and gone. And Jesus got up and washed their feet. Nobody else did, but Jesus did. He took the role of the lowest of the low. Reminded of Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 8. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God. Why not? Because he was God. He was equal with God. He is God. We talked about that about a month ago. But made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a what? Bond servant. And coming in the likeness of men. Jesus did the work of the lowest servant. And I want you to notice something here as we're about to get into the passage. While he's doing this, Jesus is pretty much silent. He's pretty much silent. Look at verse back in John chapter 13, verse 6. He hasn't said a word up to this point. In verse 6, then he came to Simon Peter, and Peter said to him, Lord, are you washing my feet? And there's a conversation that follows that right there. But nonetheless, Jesus was serving his disciples, and up to this point had not said a word. He served how? He served quietly. He just simply served. No recognition. Didn't need anybody to give him accolades. Didn't need anyone to say anything. Take your Bibles. Go backwards with me to Matthew. Everybody go to Matthew. You got John, then you got Luke, then you got Mark. Then go to Matthew. When Jesus served, he did it in humility, and that means you take the lowest form of a servant, and when we serve, we do it quietly. Matthew chapter 6, verse number 1. Matthew 6, 1. Take heed that you do not your charitable deeds before men to be seen by them, otherwise you have no reward from your Father in heaven. Therefore, when you do a charitable deed, in other words, when you serve someone, when you do an act of kindness, do not sound the trumpet before you as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory from men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. Guess what their reward is? Everybody's saying, attaboy, good job, way to go. Man, you're just a godly person. You're so religious. That was so nice of you. And there's nothing wrong with people giving you an attaboy. But if you're going to shout it in the streets, say, look at what I did. You know, sometimes I've done that and not even realizing, you know, people say, oh, Pastor, good job. We thank you for doing that, you know. And then I'm like, whoa, wait a minute. Maybe I should just keep my mouth shut. Because I really don't want the accolades because it all goes to the Lord Jesus. Amen. But sometimes people do that. They'll talk about all the things that they did at the church or all the things that, and they'll make a big deal out of it. Well, you know what your praise is? You know what your reward is? The praise you get from everybody else. God's not going to reward you for that. And of course, it goes back to your heart intent. But look at verse number 3. But when you do a charitable deed, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, that your charitable deed may be in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will himself reward you openly. Jesus served quietly. He wasn't looking for accolades. He wasn't looking for attaboys. He wasn't looking for, oh, wow, you sure did clean those feet really well. I cannot believe that you did. He wasn't looking for that. He did it as an example. He was showing us true humility. I know I've told this story before, but I'm going to tell it again. And it's kind of a gross story, actually. When you work with youth and children most of your life, you get to experience some of the yuck. You know what I'm talking about? I mean, some of it's just nasty. And probably one of my grossest moments forgive me, going back to my youth days, was when I worked at a camp, and like I said, some of you will remember this story. I worked at a camp called the Bill Rice Ranch, and we had 8 or 10 weeks, whatever it was, of campers that would come in, and we always had deaf weeks. We had 4 or 5 weeks of deaf kids coming in. We had 2 or 3 junior weeks, and we had 2 or 3 youth weeks. Anyway, 1 week was a junior week, and I was in charge of this one cabin, and the cabin held anywhere from 35 to 40 kids. So you got bunks just lined up and down, and I was in charge of them. I was a college student at the time, and in the middle of the night, I get this tap. I mean, it's like, I don't know, 1 or 2 in the morning. And I'm laying in my bed. I'm like, man, what in the world is wrong? And it's just, and I got the little guys, you know, first, second, third, fourth graders. And this little guy goes, Mr. Dave, I'm sick, and I think I made a mess. And I'm like, well, man, get to the bathroom, you know. I'm going to just do everything I can to help this poor little guy because I just felt so sorry for him. And the further the time went, I began to... And I'm going, oh, no. And he had totally messed up his bed. And he had a trail leading from my bed all the way down that entire dorm to the bathroom. Bless his heart. And I felt so bad for him. And I just knew I've got to get this cleaned up. And I can't wake up a soul. You know, because you know that if the other kids found out about it, what would happen? Oh, it'd be torture for him. Bless his heart. So I just, you know, quietly began to, I won't tell you everything I did, but I just quietly began to clean it up and clean him up and get him all set and everything. And I don't, you know, it's, other than me telling you folks, and if I've ever used an illustration, not a single soul in that cabin knew that that happened. Nobody else knew that happened. Their group leaders didn't even know what happened, because their group leaders, they just dropped their kids off and left. So they didn't even know about it. But the point is this, when we serve, go to it with a sense of humility. God, I'm doing this for you because you are so great. You've done so much for me, and I don't deserve anything that you've done for me. And God, I am the lowest of the low servants, just like your son when he ministered to those people. Be prepared. Listen, church, true servants will be prepared to do anything, and you'll do it quietly. And anything encompasses a lot. Amen. Whew! Man, it encompasses a whole lot. Doesn't matter how small, how dirty, how large, how demeaning, how insignificant it may seem in public or in private. Without any regards for accolades, rewards, or any kind of notoriety, simply serve the Lord in humility. That's the first thing I see in this passage. Second thing I see is that Jesus is intentional in his actions. And the verses that I see there in verses 2, 3, 4, and 5, we already read those, how Jesus intentionally gets up after supper. Let's think about that. Did you ever think about this? They ate supper with dirty feet. They went the entire meal. Jesus didn't get up and wash their feet until after the supper had ended, verse number 2, right? They normally would have had their feet washed as they walked in. I wonder if Jesus sat there thinking to himself, is anybody going to do this? Is anybody going to step up? And then finally, Jesus said, this is something that must be done. He intentionally gets up, grabs a towel, grabs the water, grabs the basin, and washes their feet. He was intentional about serving other people. You know, I think there were 3 reasons here why the disciples didn't get it. All right, and I think these 3 reasons you could probably relate to. All right, hang on, you'll see what I'm talking about. Okay, there are probably 3 reasons why they didn't do it. I mean, that would be the question in my mind. Why didn't the disciples do it? Why didn't they make Jesus do it? Well, they didn't make Jesus do it. He chose to do it. But you ever been across this? Thought of it this way? Well, I didn't do it because someone else will do it. I must admit, something out here happened the other day. Had some pretty gusty winds. One of our pots, those big pots that are out here, got blown over. And when it got blown over, about half of that dirt that was in there got knocked out of that big old pot. And there was a stack of dirt probably about that big around and about that high just laying there on the concrete on the sidewalk. And I saw it. Just moved along. Just purposely. I was just curious. The next day, came back. Guess what? It was still there. Next day, came back. Someone noticed it, and we talked about it. I said, you know what? Because they were going to do it. And I said, no, no, no. I want to see. I want to observe. It was still there. Third day got cleaned up. I have no idea who cleaned it up. And if you're in this auditorium and you clean that up, thank you for doing that. I appreciate that. But the point is this. Be intentional. How many people walk by that? Including me. But I wonder how many people walked by that and saw that and said someone thought to themselves, somebody else will do it. Brother James, he's a maintenance guy around here. He'll get his shovel. He'll do it. You know? But it could have been something as simple as lifting a dustpan and a broom. And I probably should have just gone and done it myself. I just curious how long it was going to sit there, so I tried to give it a shot. But don't you do that sometimes? Well, somebody else will do it. Jesus wasn't waiting for somebody else to do it. How about this? No one else thought to wash everyone's feet. I didn't see an opportunity to serve pastor because I wasn't even thinking about it. You ever been there? I have. Sometimes we're just not in that frame of mind. Sometimes no one is going to wash anyone's feet. Sometimes we think of it in that sense. Someone else will do it. No one else thought to do it, or no one wanted to do it. I ain't washing your feet. Are you kidding me? Peter, you got gout, man. I ain't touching your feet. Are you kidding? Are you out of your mind? You, man, that's some. You got some gross ingrown toenails, brother. I'm not. Andrew, your feet are nasty, brother. You know, it's funny. I tried to do this in a couple of chapels from our school, and I tried to get other kids to wash somebody else's feet. You think they'd do it? Not on your lot. No, they were like, no way, I'm not touching their feet. But that may have been their attitude as well. But, you know, so often we're the same way. Instead of being intentional about serving, sometimes we say, well, you know, somebody else will do it. Or maybe we don't even think about it. Or you may look at it and go, I ain't doing that. Are you crazy? That's not what Jesus would have done. Jesus would have been all over it. He'd have been very intentional about it. And as believers, we must live with our eyes wide open when it comes to serving and be ready to serve at the moment's notice. If you go back to John chapter 4, verses 1 through 4, it's the story of the Samaritan woman. Remember that? Jesus said in verse number 4, I have to go through Samaria. Why? He was intentional about who he was going to meet. Normally, Jews would go around Samaria. Not this time. Jesus said, I must needs go through Samaria. His eyes were wide open from the standpoint he was looking for an opportunity to serve, and he knew that he was going to be meeting up with a woman at the well there in the region of Samaria. So Jesus went there. I'm so glad. I was really thankful there were, and probably all of us would have jumped all over this, but when I took Ethan back to school back in January, I was driving back, and there's a couple of different stops I usually stop at, and this one, there's an Arby's there, and there's a McDonald's, there's a couple of gas stations. It's about, 30 minutes east of Tallahassee on I-10. And I pulled in there, and I fueled up, get in there, get me a cold drink, get something to eat, get revved up to go. And as I'm walking back out, bless his heart, there's this elderly gentleman, probably, I'd say, he's probably in his 70s. You ever watch something happen, and it's like it's slow motion? You know, and you're just like, no, you know, this guy, bless his heart, he was going to the door at McDonald's, and he lifted his foot and just barely tapped the edge of the curb, face first, and he was wearing glasses, put a big old gash on his head. Fortunately, there were several of us that were right there, but it was encouraging to me to, you know, you didn't see people out with their cell phones. Because that's what you see a lot of times today, isn't it? This one gentleman, there were three of us that jumped into action and a few others. This one gentleman, he was literally down face first, and he was on his left, and he grabbed his arm and tried to help him up a little bit. And there was another guy who was on the right side trying to hold his arm and kind of help him, just give him some stability. This other guy had him straddled and had a big old rag and got paper towels and stuff and put it right there to stop the bleeding, and we just kind of kept him there. But there was blood everywhere. Most people, not most, but some people would have said, you know. But I was thankful that there were people who would say, you know what, I'm going to jump into action here. This poor fellow needs our help. And eventually the ambulance came, and we were able to load him up, and he was thankful, and he was all right. He was okay, in case you wondered. He was doing just fine. He just got a good gash on his head. But nonetheless, the point here, folks, is this. As you serve the Lord, be intentional about what you are doing. Look for opportunities. Begin your day with your eyes wide open. Be ready to engage. Be ready to accept the opportunities and the things that are going to come throughout your day. Be ready to serve. And when the opportunity presents itself, jump in. Serve. Do something for somebody. And when they ask you about, well, why did you do that? Don't say, well, I'm just a good person. You know what? I'm serving you because Jesus served me. I'm serving you because Jesus served me by dying for me. He saved me. And I just want you to know that God loves you and I love you. What a wonderful opportunity to witness. Amen? Right there. It's right there in front of us. But be intentional about it. Thirdly, he was physical in his touch. Had to be physical in order to touch their feet, right? Had to touch their feet. He had to be physical in the sense that he had to get up and go, wrap the towel around him. He had to go get the water. He had to get the basin filled with water, washing their feet. It was one thing for a servant to do it, but it was another thing for the Son of God to do it, for the Creator to do it. That physical touch, the Lord, the Master, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the God of the universe and all eternity, to pick up a towel to wash those grimy, dirty feet of the disciples, he reached out and physically touched the lives of the 12 disciples. Didn't mind how many ingrown toenails they had. Didn't matter how many cuts they had. Didn't matter if this guy had athlete's foot and this guy had perfectly manicured feet. It didn't matter. Jesus said that he's going to get involved here and physically do something, and it's amazing. You know, there's something about a physical touch. God has created us where the very physicality of touching and helping someone, there's just something to it, isn't there? And there's nothing wrong with serving the Lord and where you aren't directly involved with people, but when God gives you opportunities to give those handshakes, those hugs, those pats on the back, that cup of water, that physical part of serving the Lord, take advantage of those. Jesus touched the man with leprosy. Jesus touched Peter's mother-in-law whenever she had a fever and her fever left her. Jesus touched the sick and the deaf and the blind and the mute. Jesus touched the poor Malchus, the servant of the high priest who had his ear cut off by Peter. Remember that? Jesus touched that old nasty, bloody ear and reattached it and brought healing to poor old Malchus. Go with me to Luke 8. Luke chapter 8. Take your Bibles, go to Luke 8 quickly. Give you a couple more instances here. Luke 8, 41. Just something about that touch of the Master's hand. And behold, Luke 8, verse 41. Luke 8, 41. And behold, there was a man named Jairus, a ruler of the synagogue, and he fell down at Jesus' feet and begged him to come to his house, for he had an only daughter about 12 years of age, and she was dying. But as he went, the multitudes thronged him. Now a woman having an issue of blood for 12 years, who had spent all her livelihood on physicians and could not be healed by any. This poor woman had a blood disease and a flow of blood for 12 years, and nobody could do anything for her. She came from behind and touched the border. There it is, touched the border of his garment, and immediately her flow of blood stopped. And Jesus said, this is great, who touched me? When they all denied it, Peter and those with him said, Master, multitudes throng and press on you, and you say, who touched me? But Jesus said, somebody touched me. I perceive power going out from me. What did it take for the power to leave Jesus to go into somebody else's life? It took a simple what? Touch. Now when the woman saw that she was not hidden, she came trembling and falling down before him, and she declared to him in the presence of all the people the reason she had touched him and how she was healed immediately. And he said to her, daughter, be of good cheer, your faith, there you go, the touch with faith, has made you well. Go in peace. And while he was still speaking, someone came from the ruler of the synagogue's house saying to him, your daughter is dead. She's dead. It's over. Forget it. That you can't do anything. Do not trouble the teacher. But when Jesus heard it, he answered, saying, do not be afraid. Only believe. She will be made well. When he came into the house, he permitted no one to go in except Peter, James, and John, and the father and the mother of the girl. Now all wept and mourned for her, but he said, do not weep. She is not dead, but sleeping. And they ridiculed him, knowing that she was dead. But he put them all outside, took her hand, touch, took her by the hand and called, saying, little girl, arise. Then her spirit returned, and she arose immediately. You see, she was dead because her spirit was gone. When Jesus commands it to come back, that's exactly what happens. And he commanded that she be given something to eat, and her parents were astonished. What was it? It was the touch. The touch. The touch. By the way, did you see who else? Who else's feet Jesus washed? Judas. Did you notice that? The betrayer. The thief. The liar, the crook, the Benedict Arnold. And Jesus, even his own enemy. By the way, in the garden, Jesus referred to him as friend. But Jesus even washed his feet. Folks, there's just something about when you do something for somebody, that embrace, that hug, that touch. There's just something about it. I can't explain it, but you know it's true as well as I do. It's one thing to say, God bless you, we'll see you. It's another thing to hold him close, say, I'm praying for you, and then praying for him right there on the spot. There's just something about it. And our people, and I think you would agree with me, in our world today, are hurting, and they need that. They desire that. They want that touch. Listen, God can use you to bring a touch to someone that will impact their life. God can use you to do that. This was an intimate scene that was taking place in John 13. And the very touch of him doing something for his disciples was making all the difference in the world. The last thing I want to share with you is that he was biblical in his message. He was biblical in his message. Look at verse number 6. Then he came to Simon Peter and said to him, Lord, and Peter said, Lord, are you washing my feet? Jesus answered and said, what I'm doing now, you do not understand, but you will know after this. Peter, you don't get it now, but later on you're going to get it. And Peter said to him, you shall never wash my feet. Ooh. Yeah. You ever had that happen? A youngster or somebody rebuke an adult, and everybody in the room goes, ooh. Do you understand what you're dealing with here? That's what Peter did. He rebuked Jesus. Peter rebuked the Son of God. You are never washing my feet. How does Jesus answer? Look at it. If I do not wash you, you have no part with me. That's pretty powerful. Simon Peter said to him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Lord, wash me all over. And Jesus said to him, he who is bathed, underline that word bathed, needs only to wash his feet. Underline the word wash. But it is completely clean. You are clean, but not all of you. For he knew who would betray him. Therefore he said, you are not all clean. Speaking of Judas, of course. So when he had washed their feet, taken his garments, and sat down again, he said to them, do you know what I've done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you say, well, you're right on, you're spot on, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and teacher, I've washed your feet, you ought also to wash one another's feet, for I have given you an example. I ask you to underline the word bathed and washed, and here's why. There are two different Greek words. The word bathe comes from the Greek word luo, all right? Luo means to loose, okay? It means to be totally absolved of something. The word wash is the Greek word nipto, which simply is the word that's used for washing your hands and your feet. You know, just that daily thing that you do all the time, all right? The difference is this. Jesus is saying, you need to be bathed. You need to be bathed by me, in me, my blood, my sacrifice. If you are going to be a part of me, Peter, you must be bathed. You must be washed by me, luo. Because that is what looses, the word luo, that's what looses you of all of your sin. And oh, by the way, you also need that daily washing, don't we? Don't we? We need that daily washing, don't we? Because daily washing, we're walking through the streets of Jerusalem, so to speak, right? We're going through all the streets, and we're experiencing all the hurt and the heartache, and we're hearing all the profanity, and we're hearing the lies, and we see people doing this wrong and doing that wrong, and we're experiencing all. And you kind of, spiritually speaking, you kind of get dirty as you go through the day, don't you? Now, you've already been bathed in Christ, but you still need your feet washed a little bit. Amen? And that's what he's talking about here. He's teaching them a biblical message. Peter, I've got to wash all of you. You've got to be totally bathed by me. But by the way, you still need your feet washed every now and again, because your feet are going to get dirty as you walk through this life. In verses 12 to 15, his reasoning is simply, listen, guys, listen. If I can do this, if I can go to Peter and Andrew and James and John and James the son of Alphaeus and Judas Iscariot and Thaddeus and Bartholomew and Philip, and I can't remember if I forgot any, but you know that there are 12 of them. If I can go to all 12 of you and do this, surely you can serve me like I just served you. And that begs the question for each one of us. Do we serve? We all need that blood to bathe us for salvation. As believers, we need that daily washing. But Jesus says here, I'm giving you an example. Are you serving God the way we ought to serve? And he says, you can do this. You can. Church, I want to challenge you to serve. And I'm not just talking about within the ministries of this church, although there are many areas where we need people to serve. I'm talking about outside of this area. You know one of the best ways you can serve people? By giving them the gospel. Amen? That's one of the best ways to serve others. Giving them hope of eternal life. Sharing with them that without Jesus, it's not good for you. You need heaven to be your home. And the only way that's going to happen is through Christ. Jesus gave us a servant's example. Will we follow it? I hope so. We'll be humble. We'll be intentional. That we'll simply serve others by physically doing things for them and by sharing that message that is the most important message of all time. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this message. Thank you for this book. Thank you for this event. Lord, for you to humble yourself. But Lord, if we had foot washing it now, there would probably be people who would say, I'm not doing it. And that's sad on our part, Lord, because we should be willing to do anything for you. Because you did it all for us. You're in here today, and maybe you don't know Christ as your Savior. That's where it all begins. It begins with a bathing. You need to be bathed in the blood of Christ. You need to come to the realization that without Christ, you are eternally lost. Would you accept him today? Would you believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ today? He died for you. He rose from the dead for you. And the only way to heaven is by putting your faith and trust in him, turning from your sin and turning to the Lord Jesus. Believers, you know, I think we do a lot of things throughout the day, and a lot of them are service to the Lord. And a lot of times, if you're like me, we do things throughout the day without even thinking about it. We don't think of it as service to the Lord. Maybe we do it because we have to. Maybe we do it because somebody asked us to. Maybe we do it because somebody's making us. You know, one of the greatest things you can do for God is just simply serve him. Even if it means a cold cup of water in the name of Jesus for someone. Father, may we be faithful in our service. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.